Great Life by Keith Richards, or one of 85,000 other Audible books at audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. T. Earl Grey, hot. Make it so, number two. The line must be drawn here. Indeed. From the top of the Cirrus Tower, I mean Willis Tower, in Chicago, Illinois, I'm Colin Bird.
From A1A in Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross. From the docks of Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the wrong side of the tracks in the Roundabout Studios, I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your hose, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 57, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like an incumbent politician under threat, we search high and low for votes, leaving no demographic untouched. Between kissing hands and shaking babies, we may even run across a cohesive, zen-like theme that could give us an edge over the competition. Along the way, we'll tell heart-wrenching stories about people in our district, like Abigail Snellgrove, who's 78 years old and has to choose between getting her prescriptions filled and buying food because she can't afford both.
So sad.
Social Security just isn't enough for her. In the end, we'll accept huge campaign contributions from special interest groups and buy the votes we need to stay in office for another term.
Keith Olbermann.
And whatever's left over in our campaign war chest, well, we'll use that to push our pork barrel podcast agenda.
Because, like every other politician, we'll overpromise and underdeliver.
Shooting blanks, Eric. Shooting blanks.
Are we talking about SEMA already?
Ooh, awkward. Yeah.
So, roundabout number 57 already. Hard to believe it's been 57 weeks. You know? Just
it's
keep
like
on trucking.
It's like the Heinz 57 edition.
That's
true.
So.
This should have been the ketchup episode.
Damn it. Mark it, Ben. So, we have got the Birdman is back. We have Colin
Yo.
Bird. Got
Yo.
His meat. What?
What?
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah. Got your fresh off your media training at cars.com, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you could make it again.
Yeah, I'm happy that you allowed me back on after last time.
Yep. Right. The burning is gone now.
The
burning sensation, yeah.
Did the bleeding stop?
I'm pretty sure it's scabbed over. Also joining us today, we've got the Roundabout stalwart, Eric Tritko.
A happy Guy Fawkes Day to you.
Happy, yes. Trying to blow up Parliament?
Always.
All right. Very good. Michelle Naranjo.
Yes.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Insert uncomfortable silence. Check.
Am I the uncomfortable silence or is it you?
I'm not going to point any fingers, all right? It just happened. So... thank you for joining us, as always, from the Long Beach. And, of course, we've got Benjamin Colonel Slanders right here.
I say.
Providing us with some podcast fried lies.
That's right.
11 herbs and spices.
Yes, but mostly flour and pepper.
That's true.
And no mushrooms.
No, definitely not.
So we've got just a stupendous show planned for you guys today. I'm not just saying that.
It's not just because you're fresh off a bad meal on Delta Airlines?
No, what meal? Okay, I just got back from Miami today. And they didn't even have a drinks cart come through the frickin' plane today.
Wow.
Well, what airlines?
Delta.
How long is that trip? It's like 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, but they always have even shorter flights. They have drinks. The drinks trolley comes down and they give you whatever. Anyway, this isn't about airplanes, although we will get to that later.
You didn't get your drink on, in other words, what you're saying.
I just wanted some club soda. Is that too much to ask? So, yeah, we will get to a couple airplane-themed stories in our blind spot. And before that, we will cover another couple interesting stories. A lot of stuff from SEMA. So if you've been looking for a SEMA update, got some interesting stuff from Vegas there. Also, Canada's having some issues with their automotive advertising. We'll get the panel's viewpoint on that in a shortly here. Plus Carbon Motors. You remember them? And you guys remember that company making those police cars?
Carbon who?
Exactly. Got a story on them, too. coming up in just a couple of minutes here. But before we jump into the news portion of the show, just wanted to remind you guys again about our latest contest. This is your last opportunity to win a coveted Car MD, which is a $98.99 value. Nearly $99. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So just keep your listening organs clean and open, because sometime after the commercial break, you're going to hear a secret word preceded by the following sound effect. Ben?
Avon calling.
So listen for that doorbell dinger. Ben will play that a little bit later in the show. When you hear the secret word, just go to roundaboutshow.com. That's our website, roundaboutshow.com. Click on the Win a Car MD button. It's right in the sidebar at the top of the page. It'll take you to a little form. You enter the secret word. You give us your name, and you're entered for a chance to win the Car MD. And this is the third and final week that we're doing the contest. We've done it two weeks previously, and maybe you've heard those. Maybe you've listened in to those shows. Hopefully you've listened to those. So this is your last chance to enter to win. So,
although I'll hasten to add that we still welcome entries from episodes 55 and 56 if you want to go back and listen to them. So that triples your chance of winning.
Enter early, enter often.
That's right. Like Chicago politics.
Absolutely.
Hey.
So we will choose the winner at random, and we will announce it live on this show next week. Episode number 58. Or, you know, it could be pre-recorded, depending on your listening schedule. But either way, stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. I'm pretty sure it's going to be awesome.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
What else could it be?
So before we go on, we had a special Halloween Day contest as well. For anyone who entered the secret word on that day or earlier, and five lucky people will be receiving beautiful, wonderful little Roab Tramp stamp
stickers.
Hold it
up to the microphone.
Can you see that through the mic?
Can you feel that vinyl?
Can you hear or see it? If not, I'll hold it up to the camera here. We've got these charming little Roab stickers. They've got our Twitter handle, some nice graphic work by Mr. Sanders here, plus the URL, a little snaking around the bottom, you know, roundaboutshow.com.
So you never forget.
Perfect bling for your car or whatever else you want to stick them to. Just don't get us in trouble sticking them on police cars or municipal buildings or something. We could get in trouble for that, but you know.
And if you didn't win this week, you can buy your own.
How much are they, Ben? And where can people buy them? Good question.
They can buy them at the Roundabout Emporium, which you'll find a link to at roundaboutshow.com. And I'm not sure exactly how much those are running. I think $3 a piece.
That's a
They're
good
worth
deal.
It. They're worth it.
Good deal to me.
Good deal.
Buy them by the case.
That's what I always
say. We should send one of those down to the Top Gear Australia people, because they're taking donations of stickers to put on one of their studio cars.
Awesome.
We'll do
Great
it.
Great idea, Eric.
We'll do it.
Have to do that. But without further ado, I should announce the five winners we've got.
I think that'd be a
for
good
this
idea.
Week. So first up, we've got a Scott Donat. Donat.
Donats.
Yes. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. It's just like school when the teacher gets everyone's name wrong, you know, the first day.
Right.
Should we look through the fans on the fan page and see who it might be?
We could, but I'll let anybody.
I'll look right now.
There you go, Michelle.
Do we know any Scotts? No.
Scott Donat.
We know Scotty in Cleveland.
We've also got
Could it be that Scotty? Wow.
Could it be?
Is it that Scotty?
He didn't give his social security, did he, Ben? Check the Google Doc.
You know, I will give out his email address. I'm sure someone will let us know.
We've also got a Mark Villanova that has entered for and won a free sticker, so we will be dispatching that post-haste. Mm-hmm. Luke Farlow, of course. Luke won a wonderful sticker right here. We've got
Yay.
Joe. Yay, Luke. We've got Joe Pine. So thank you, Joe. And, of course,
our average Joe.
Got our good friend.
I thought, is his middle name Ride, though?
What?
That's a non sequitur, Eric.
Okay.
That's what you call that.
Crickets. And last but not least, we've got Mr. Chris Gorski, also known as Gorskik in the chat.
Gorskik. Gorskik.
So, again, Scott Donat, Mark Villanova, Luke Farlow, Joe Pine, and Chris Gorski, you will all be receiving an email from Ben right here asking for your mailing address. And he
Social
promises
security number.
Yeah, well, maybe that too. He promises not to sell out, you know, to sell it to the Roundabout Farm Summer Sausage and Cheese catalog, even though they get a $2 commission on every acquisition.
But we may come visit
deal.
On the next Roundabout Show road trip.
Perhaps
hey,
Ben didn't
point.
Get his cheese last time around. You know how that went over.
I wanted cheese, too.
Well, we just didn't have time.
That's what we get for someone driving to Wisconsin in the middle of the night.
I know. All the cheeseries were closed, so it wouldn't have been made a difference, you know?
Wisconsin has to have at least one 24-hour cheesery. I'm sure of it.
Couldn't get some cheese curds?
Is that even real cheese?
Yeah.
I love that cheese bread stuff. Cheese toast or cheese whatever that was.
Cheese pancakes, you call them.
Hey, do we have a show?
Speaking of a show, this week's theme is DOA, just like the intro so far.
Oh, I thought it was This Week in Cheese.
No. Sorry, this is not a dairy-themed program, Ben.
That's my next podcast.
Twic?
Twic. This Week in Cheese. Or
This Week in Dairy, Quid.
Oh, poor Luke. Rich just said in the chat room to him, "You're a winner, Luke. Oh, but you live in Colorado, the only ineligible state."
Doot-doot-doot. Okay, they're ineligible?
Because Rich says so.
Because no winners would live in Colorado. Is that what he's implying?
I don't know.
That's pretty mean.
So what's this DOA?
Dead on arrival. We have a whole lineup of inappropriate stories that are just, you could say dead on arrival, infantile.
Dead or alive.
Exactly.
So Crawdad!
What?
Sorry.
What are you saying here?
Something about crawdads?
Yes.
I thought you were allergic to seafood, Eric.
No, I do not have a shellfish allergy.
Good to know. So, again, the theme is DOA, dead on arrival. We've got just a lineup of stories that fit that quite nicely. And first up, we've got a story on the Jalopnik. Allegedly. General Motors was planning on doing a little commercial with Tina Fey. Ben, you are a big fan of the Fey.
Oh, I love the Fey.
The Fey.
gotta have the Fey.
From that 30 Rock program, I understand. And also with that person whom you may or may not be a fan of, Sarah Palin. I would bet on not being a fan.
Not so much.
Mama Grizzly.
Crazy harpy. So apparently they were planning on doing a commercial with the two. With Tina Fey doing her Sarah Palin impersonation, and then they canned the idea.
Too controversial.
My question is Sarah Palin done any commercial, like retail commercial type commercials?
I would think not, because who would buy any of the products she endorsed? I would be like, hell no.
Tea party.
It seems really campy. I mean, it seems, yeah, I don't know.
I'm Sarah Palin.
Oh, Walmart.
The only difference between a hockey mom and a bulldog is lipstick. Shut up, lady. I don't care.
She'd be. Well, I'm surprised she hasn't done anything for Walmart, since that's mainly the audience she talks to.
Well, that's true. So this sounds like it could have been a pretty funny idea, especially if they made fun of Sarah Palin. And
what?
If they did it. I mean, if they did it like they did when she was on the Saturday Night Live, when she and Tina did the thing on Saturday Night Live, it'd be funny, because that was actually pretty funny.
Well, yeah. How do you guys think these commercials were going to go? Like, was it supposed to be some sort of duality thing, and Tina Fey would be driving the Honda Civic or something, and she was going to be driving the Cruise? I don't know. Did they explain it all?
Well, I think Tim Allen would have been doing the voiceover saying, "May the best car win."
Oh, my God.
May the best candidate win.
To infinity and beyond.
So. I'll vote for Tina Fey.
You wouldn't vote for Sarah Palin, Michelle?
Tina Fey, please.
Tina Fey, please.
For the win.
FTW. So, yeah, this story is literally dead on arrival because GM decided to cancel it. It was apparently too risque for them. Too risque for them to be spending government money on, I guess.
Lame.
Well, they could do it after the IPO.
Well, what are they going to? What's that, Colin?
No, I was going to say, what do you guys think of their Cruise ads that they decided to go with?
I think they're all right.
They're okay.
They're not you know, home run, knock you on your ass kind of commercials, but I think they're nice, solid. You know, they're a decent, solid introduction to the car.
Yeah, I think they're. Yeah, you know, I mean, they highlight the points that are different from the Corolla and, you know, the Honda Civic, so.
Meaning the car's not boring and or ugly.
It's got 10 airbags.
10 airbags? You could float in that thing.
Pretty much.
Jeez. So, yeah, here's one for the scrap heap. Unfortunately, no Tina Fey, no Sarah Palin commercial. Oh, the possibilities.
10 airbags. Are you talking about the Detroit City Council?
No, not quite. But in a little more sporting whatever.
If you will.
If you will, yes, a sporting story. Colin, you've got our next one, courtesy of the Engadget. Something
this is
about
true.
Some sort of sports car, but battery powered.
Oh,
yeah,
the
so,
Tesla?
No. Well, but it's another American company. It's on the other side of the Americas, North Carolina. It's called Lion Motors. That's how you're
supposed to say Lion Motors?
You're supposed to say Lion. That's what they say.
Lying? Is that what you said? Lion Motors?
Like the animal.
Roar.
But, I guess the car, I don't know how to pronounce this. Does anyone know how to? It's Inizio.
Inizio?
Inizio.
Inizio. And so it's like, it's sort of like the, it's got the same specs as the Tesla Roadster, basically. It's the same price. It's $139,000.
So pretty affordable.
250 miles on a charge. Yeah, pretty affordable. I think it's sort of interesting.
Right.
We all live in, me and Craig at least live in 2055, so.
Right. We're paying it forward.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, the one part I found interesting, I mean, like, you know, like what Eric was saying is this company, Lion Motors, can't even pay a $75,000 lawsuit claim. So I don't understand how they're going to start building these cars. They've already.
Oh, yeah.
They've already gone through $50 million and they haven't even, you know, they're just now getting ready to produce cars. They say they're going to produce 10,000 a year, but they have
Who's
no money.
Who's going to buy 10,000 of these at 140 grand?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you and I, obviously, but
obviously. We're at 2055.
Are there that many royal members of the royal family in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Dubai?
Potentially, but they don't need electrics. They've got all the oil there. You know, they just stick a finger in the ground and got oil.
Plug into their well in their backyard.
Exactly. So, what are some of the specs in this car? It looks like it could really clean the Tesla's clock.
I mean, it's the same. It seems like the correct me if I'm wrong, but the 0 to 60 is the same. It's 3.4 seconds on this. Isn't that the same as
the
Roadster?
I thought Tesla was slower, but I could be mistaken.
It's
any
about
ideas?
That.
It's about fast. That. Plenty fast.
I think it's interesting that you can only charge this, they say, 2,500 times. That doesn't sound like a lot to me.
That's probably the lifetime of the car, though, in reality.
No, that's right, because lithium-ion battery, like if you look on your laptop and you go through the specs on how many cycles you can run your batteries through, it's typically around 1,000 to 1,500 before you have to start replacing them. So 2,500 seems reasonable.
Yeah. So 0 to 60, or should I say 0 to not going to happen in 3.4 seconds?
Yeah, 170 miles max.
Top speed.
Miles per hour. Yeah.
How fast would the battery run down, I wonder, at 170 miles an hour? Like 3 seconds? I'm at 170. And 167, 152.
Colin, did you ever see a movie called, it's a late 80s Charlie Sheen movie called The Wraith?
No.
Oh, they used a Chrysler concept car, and the front end of this thing reminds me exactly of that car.
Oh, is that the one where, like, they were driving around and, like, oh, never mind, that was Judge Dredd. Whoops. No, but
that
anyway.
Was Smokey and the Bandit.
This Engadget article links to a New York Times article about this company and about, you know, they won one of the many prizes that the XPRIZE gave away. And they're basically operating off that $2 million. They've already gone through $50 million. And all of that hasn't been to produce electric cars, but it's like weird stock market stuff. They wasted $2 million faxing people spam. So I don't know about this company.
Awesome.
They built a
PC
user. They converted some guy's PT Cruiser to run it on electric batteries, and it didn't work at all. And that's the guy who sued them for $75,000, and they can't even pay him.
There was a $10 million consulting fee for the founders of the company, so that they, you know, they when they're done with this thing and it goes in the tank, they're still okay.
Right. Well, so, you know, there's that third party company that's called Amp. It's called like Amp Electrics or .com or something. I don't know. And they're coming out with the Equinox. They're converting the Equinox. Now they say they say that their whole company objective is to target the most popular cars in different segments and convert them to electric. So they're working on the Equinox before. Their previous two cars were a Pontiac and a Saturn. Like the guys had no foresight, right? Like maybe this will mean the death of the Equinox.
Well, I've noticed a general theme with, you know, this company, Lion Motors and Tesla and Zap, I think that's all it's called, ZAP.
Not going to happen?
They except this company doesn't seem to have really a really good hype machine going, but the Zap and Tesla do. And then their finances are completely spurious. It's not like they're even spending it on the operations of trying to build an electric car. It's just all this stock market stuff, you know?
Tesla's new business plan is find as many dumb idiots who will dump $50 million a month into our company.
Yeah, I think Panasonic just did something.
$30 million Panasonic just did.
Right.
Well, moving along in much less financial-related news. Eric, you've got some stuff from the SEMA floor, even though we weren't there, none of us.
Yeah, from live.
You've got something Honda and that hybrid sporty coupe everyone loves to hate.
Yeah, so Honda decided or woke up to the idea that their CRZ wasn't quite exactly what they were planning it to be and what they promised it to be when they originally showed the
concept. You mean like decent?
Concept. Yeah, like it has less room and less fuel mileage and is more expensive than a Fit. Sorry, I was going to call it the European name, the Jazz. The Jazz for our European listeners.
Smooth Jazz.
Exactly. 98.7. So they...
Freestyle.
They handed out, I believe, 8 or 9 of the CRZs to tuner companies and other companies
and
to...
They accepted them to...
To try and make them reasonable, or at least make them more presentable. And in some cases, there were actually some pretty cool things that were done with it. One company put a big turbo motor in it and like 500 plus horsepower.
Okay, so it'd be drivable then.
Exactly. It would get out of its own way. Honda actually did one of their own where they came up with a body kit and some other tuning to it for like it had 200 horsepower. And by the time they got done with the body kit, other than the ridiculous rear wing on it, it actually looked pretty good. Like, wow, can you imagine if you would have come out with this originally and charged $22,000 for it, people might have actually bought it.
Look at me! I'm driving a hybrid!
Well, to be fair, I've noticed that the CRZ actually isn't selling as bad. I think it's hitting your projections so far.
Which was what, 50 cars a month?
1,500. Yeah. So, they sold like, I think they've around 1,500 last month.
Who would buy the car? I still don't understand. I mean, I had it for a few days and... The only thing I liked about it was the shifter. It didn't drive well. It was slow. It didn't get good fuel economy. You couldn't see out the back windows when you turned to check your blind spot because the glass is so small. It's like there's no room inside. What's the purpose?
Enthusiast, Craig.
Hybrid That's enthusiasts?
It's not a good hybrid.
It's not a good anything.
It's better than the inside. I'll give it that much.
Okay, maybe it's better than...
Well, I don't know. At least the inside's got some room in it, and it's got a functional trunk.
Yeah.
And it gets better mileage. Just, but still. It's a four-door car that gets better mileage than a two-door, two-seat car.
Yeah. You know what they should do? Honda should offer a CRZ and a CRZ hybrid. With the CRZ, they should just have, like, the K20...
1.6.
Engine from the, no, I'm talking the 2 liter, 200 horsepower or 197, whatever it is from the Civic Si. Drop that in there; it'd be like CRX replacement, modern version.
See, the problem is that would get better mileage than the hybrid, though.
Yeah, it probably would. That is the problem. But then still offer the hybrid for anybody.
I'm curious when
it.
When the Honda Civic comes out, they've already said that it's going to have a whole new hybrid system with lithium-ion batteries. If you know when they put that into the CRZ and the inside, if those cars will finally be good, you know?
It didn't really work out for the Hyundai.
Yeah. Well, not to be outdone, Honda's longtime rival.
Yes, Toyota. They decided to show off that the Prius can be a sporty coupe or something. there's a body kit that... I'm guessing someone in Japan saw the Lamborghini Reventon. Like someone saw the nose of the Lamborghini Reventon and then went all anime on it and made it exaggerated and everything and then tried to stick that on the nose of the Prius. And then if you look at the sides and if there's some rear pictures of it in here too as well, they tried to get all F1 with some tunnels and stuff coming out of the back and wings. Like it's a DTM car. Ugh. It's like,
Oh, my God.
This becomes the ultimate douche-mobile. A, because you're driving a Prius, and B, because you tried to make it look like it's some Fast and Furious tuner boy car.
I don't think anybody would drive this car, Eric.
It's horrible. Well,
horrible.
I mean, this looks worse than the original.
It's hard to do.
And this real carbon fiber, right? So this thing's going to be like...
It's no cardboard.
$60,000.
Cardboard is carbon.
And the wheels, I don't know what they did with the wheels on this thing, but they look like they're 13-inch wheels on this thing.
Those are hubcaps, Eric.
18-inch wheels, though.
Oh, yeah, well...
profile.
Yeah.
Did you guys also see the Swagger Wagon Supreme?
That was awesome.
Like, 4 feet to, and it looks like a Vegas penthouse inside.
That was badass.
That was Jeff's stripper wagon.
Maybe I would that was actually cool. I like that idea. A vehicle you could actually move around in that's comfortable, roomy, be awesome. To take a road trip in that thing.
But if you have here's the question. So there's seatbelt laws now. I mean, as a kid, when I was really little, my parents had the pickup with a camper on it. One of the beds would go over the cab of the pickup, right? And then as I got older, my parents got, like, the Winnebago thing. And, I mean, you could walk around in those. But in a passenger vehicle like a Swagger Wagon, a Sienna, I don't think you can, like, walk around in one.
Well, you could classify it as a limo, and maybe that would pass, because I don't think you need seatbelts in a limo, do you?
I would think you do, but... How could they ever tell you weren't wearing them unless you're poking out the sunroof,
Right.
Look at me. I'm out the roof.
What is limo law, actually? I don't even know, because in a taxi here, you're supposed to wear a seatbelt.
Really?
Who knew? So, yeah, awful-looking Toyota Prius from SEMA. Well, I won't say awful-looking. Hit the link in the show notes on roundaboutshow.com, and you be the jury. Oh.
That's our train.
Mark that, Ben. Anyway, in more SEMA news, we've got something. Michelle, you're a big fan of Hummers, aren't you? The H1.
Let's be clear about that.
He wasn't trying to do anything bad.
I know he wasn't.
Oh, I just got it.
Oh, God.
You told me that this was a family-friendly show.
And when did you start believing us?
Believe me, we hear the jokes all the time about, girls and Hummers. So
yeah, they've got this company. I'll ask you first. Would you drive this Hummer H1 that's been specially modified, Michelle?
Are we playing Meet Your Roadmates?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And who would probably would find that fascinating is Zach Bowman, because he does like the King of the Hammer stuff, and this is one of those things that would probably be out there. I'm not a big H1 fan, but...
Hideous.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little confused. Is this jacked up so you can just see the powertrain, or is this how it worked to go to the South Pole or whatever?
I'm pretty sure it's up in the air to show off.
Okay.
Show off its sexy frame,
Oh.
It's probably to go through drifts like that.
I don't think it actually extends.
Yeah, I mean, it would have exposed, chassis at the bottom. That'd be weird.
Yeah. Plus, it doesn't really help with the ground clearance. The frame and control arms and everything are still
that's true.
The same height.
Are you an engineer?
Shut up, Colin. So it was produced by a company called Zero South, and they basically took a Hummer H1, the military truck, and they put these little tank treads on it instead of wheels. So I'm pretty sure that would be awesome off-road, particularly in the sand, but that's probably about it. Maybe in the snow.
And the mud.
In the mud, too?
Yeah. I have a friend in the UP, and he has a business of installing those tank treads onto four-wheel drive vehicles. They're big in in Montana, Colorado, so he does it. And they're not cheap conversions either. Yeah. So.
Well, didn't Russia have something recently where you could put a car into this converter and it would...
Yes, I remember that. It was like some kit you got.
Yeah.
You put your Lada in there and then you could go off in the wintertime, traverse Siberia if you wanted. But anyway, this is Zero South biodiesel Hummer. Runs off a diesel engine, 99% biodiesel. Runs off a Volkswagen engine, which I guess is powering a generator, which runs electric motors in the wheels. So kind of a clever hybrid system there. Not at all unlike a train.
Did they say anything about the movie? What is it called or anything?
Drive Around the World, shot in 3D.
Did you see the people who were involved in that? What is it, Apple's former
Steve
CEO?
Steve Wozniak, guys, it's super cool. This is going to be awesome.
Ben's idol.
He's going to be in town on the 12th.
Is he?
Yeah.
You got to shake his hand.
You show off your Wozniak tattoo?
See, I can see his pixie watch or whatever.
Sounds so creepy.
Nixie tube.
What?
He has a Nixie tube watch.
What's that? Oh, where the lights, the old school digital type
It's like
thing.
This gigantic watch.
Okay, that's great. Great for
Amazing
you.
The things you can do when you got $100 million sitting in your bank account.
What would you do? So, yeah, Hummer.
For a Klondike bar?
Exactly. What would you do? So, SEMA Zero South Biodiesel
Market
Electric
Ben.
Hummer on Autoblog.
Ooh.
So, Colin, you've got another interesting story for us here. This one comes courtesy of the Globe and Mail up in Canada.
Yeah.
And
so, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I keep cutting, you know, I run over you a lot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't
run over him all
else.
You want.
Don't talk when I'm talking, Michelle. God.
So anyway, yeah. So in Canada, apparently they came up with some new laws that in advertisements, I guess cars can't go over 40 kilometers or 25 miles per hour. So that advertising agencies, and I think this just went into effect or trying to get sort of
creative. Wait. It's 25 miles an hour for commercials, right?
Yeah, commercials.
Yeah. Okay. Which is, how are they going to measure that exactly? And this needs, regulation. Why?
I don't know. But, I mean, actually, you know what? To be fair, I thought, when I see some commercials that, I could understand this law. You know, it makes sense that the car shouldn't be doing something that is not possible. We do that with, we say that with our drugs that, may cause anal bleeding and such. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure most drugs won't cause that, Colin.
Cause that. Have you ever watched any of these commercials?
Oh.
Anyway. So anyway, they're trying to get around it, and some of it is that in the law, and it says that so long as it's online, though, that so long as it's something that's totally outrageous, like if it's animated or, it's really CGI and it's made-up world, it can go as fast as it wants. So one of the examples was a Nissan Juke commercial with like some sort of iron giant type monster in the background, and it sort of reminded me of V for Vendetta, and
you know what it reminds me of? The old like marine commercials where they defeat some huge monster.
Mecha Streisand.
Yeah, I don't get those commercials. if there need to be a law on anything, I think it's realism in the military commercials. It's just out of control.
So what do you guys think? Why is Canada even bothering? 25-mile-an-hour limit? That's like – this seems stupid to me. If Ford's advertising a Mustang, I want to see burnouts.
Right, but don't you think that encourages kids to, drive unsafely? I mean, they always do that thing at the bottom of the screen saying, professional drivers, do not attempt this on your own, But, I mean, Canada has had that really big program against the street racers, right? Where they actually go out and they... Eric, haven't we talked about that?
I believe.
Yes, if you're caught 30K over the speed limit, it's... if you're over 30K over the speed limit, it's immediate confiscation of your car and a $10,000 fine. And that had to do with all the street racing that was going on in Toronto.
Right.
Also remember that in Canada, there's the smoking laws in Canada are such that if you're a traveling salesperson or a truck driver, even if it's in your own personal vehicle that you own, you're not allowed to smoke because that's considered smoking in your workplace.
Hmm. Lame.
I just wanted to, do we know if these laws are
Well, I'm just saying that's how
they think up there.
Yes.
It's too cold. It's affected their brains.
Are we sure that these laws aren't affecting in the United States? Because the more I think about the commercials that we have, they're all really pedestrian driving, or they are animated when they're doing something crazy. So, I don't know.
Slowly but surely, they're killing car culture.
Nanny state.
Our car commercials here are getting a little more tame with the driving. I really do. I you don't see so many. It's like bucolic CTSV drives on some Malibu hilltop, right? Like it's not. You're not really seeing somebody burn out and do some crazy stuff.
The wussification of America, right there.
Well, yeah, I've noticed like most GM commercials, they just seem like they're driving around in the Detroit suburbs. It's like they didn't even bother going anywhere, and or unless it's like ridiculously animated. But yeah,
what was that Corvette commercial that was banned a year or so ago with the kid driving or something?
Yeah, that's about 4 or 5 years ago now. But yes, that was a great commercial.
And then they ban it. Lame. So we got to fight back, guys, as enthusiasts.
Did I just sent the link to Ben. Did Mirko send any the rest of you guys this commercial? That's it's for a leasing company in Germany called Sixt, and it's this old guy driving like a madman. It's really so cute.
Let's see that, Ben. So he's getting his car. He's starting it up. Is this the right one, Ben?
I'm waiting for it to come up on the screen here.
Smashes into someone. Turns his radio on. He's got his driving gloves on. Burns out. Leaves a Back to the Future flaming trail from the tires. Says something I can't understand. He's dressed like the Mr. Peanut.
But you're the German speaker, Craig.
No, I'm not. He's driving like a drunkard in his Mercedes convertible here.
The video isn't going across the stream.
Not in the stream. Sorry, guys. He's wearing his bow tie and he looks like the Red Baron with a top hat on. Confused, very confused. Pretty sure he's got Alzheimer's. Dancing at the camera. And I'm confused even more now. He's doing burnouts. Well, thank you, Mirko, for this spine. Doing a burnout around a woman playing tetherball. Well, you guys can hit the link in the show notes to watch that for yourselves because it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Anyway.
I like it. It's geriatric unsafe driving.
Well, that's what they always do, you know, because they're old.
It's like the old guy in the Six Flags commercials.
Blood sugar's low.
I put the link for the band Corvette. I put the link for the band Corvette commercial into the chat room.
Very good, Eric. We should put that in the show notes as well. Make a mark of that, Ben. Note that. Very good. Okay, so moving along, our next story involves a company perhaps you've heard of, and they are still not making any vehicles, and that would be Carbon Motors. Remember this company, guys?
Living case of carbonite. He should be quite well protected, if he survived the freezing process, that is.
So yes, dead on arrival, Carbon Motors. And I think that's all we really need to say.
C-3PO, do we have you on the line?
Why, yes.
I mean, I'm not going to discount him yet. I mean, I don't know. It's really the best cop car, and I really hope it comes to the market. Because, I don't know. This new stuff,
it's
you
got
know,
cop tires,
I have some friends that
cop
are,
suspension.
You
cop
got some
motor.
Friends, Colin?
I have some friends that are cops, what? And like you know, these I don't know. These cop cars, just in general, don't seem really safe for cops. If you care about cop safety, and like just if they get in an accident and stuff, all that computers and you know that all that stuff is not good for them. Where that you know the searchlight where the handle is, if you got in the side impact, it goes right into the ribs. You break the ribs there. So it's just that car is like a holy
rib sandwich.
Not quite, Eric.
And I think they have a sound business plan, you know, catering to the commercial market in Canada and America, you know?
Yeah.
So why are they DOA?
Because they ain't make nothing yet.
They have no money.
Right.
That's a huge problem.
Their plant has been
bunch
waiting for a year.
Their problem is that they want to charge, like, what, $75,000 for the car? Not that it's not worth it or whatever, just that... That's a lot.
$55,000.
Oh, but still, it's a lot for municipalities cut a check for.
The Crown Vicks are cheaper by the dozen, too, so why not just stick with it?
They stopped making them.
Not until 2011, I thought, next year.
Oh, I'm driving the new Interceptor on the 11th at Pomona Speedway. Yeah.
That's the one from the SEMA?
No, Ford. It's that Taurus-based Interceptor.
The all black one?
All-wheel drive.
I mean, I guess the real reason that's probably DOA is that the Department of Energy hasn't given them their loan, And, you know, right now they're talking about giving Chrysler a $10 billion loan. So that's more important on their to-do list, apparently.
I think it's more important keeping Chrysler afloat than some little startup. But that's just me. That's just me.
I'm waiting on my $310 million loan, too.
Yeah, I applied for one, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bird Motors.
Reminds me of... You guys remember Matthew Lesko?
Yeah.
Ben does. Government guide to free money! Need $15,000 to open a coffee shop. $10,000 to go back to school. Michelle, do you need $12,000 to open an Asian massage parlor?
I do.
Government guide to free money. You remember that guy?
He's like the Riddler. He had the question marks.
As an aside, that will be my Halloween costume for next year.
What were you this year?
I just wore a crappy suit. My lime green one. Anyway, moving along. Our next story here comes courtesy of the BBC, Eric.
Oh, yes.
Oh. The BBC.
Oh, yes. So, apparently, over in Europe, they've got some students working on these very interesting wind-powered cars. Now, they don't actually use a sail. What they've got are these big, like, fan blades, essentially, and the wind blows through those, and they've got it geared so that the spinning blades actually turn the wheels on the car, so they can go opposite the direction of the wind if they wanted. Pretty cool idea, and they've got races that they're doing. I read this article, guys. I was very impressed by how clever it was. What did
it's
you guys think?
It's a pigeon killer.
Hmm.
Yes, they're not going to allow them in California because they might kill migratory birds.
But birds usually don't fly near people.
Did you guys watch the video of that, by the way? Because the guy asked, like, you know, the BBC guys, it's like, oh, isn't this car crazy or whatever? And then the professor immediately starts, it's like, yeah, this car is totally impractical. But.
Well, you look at the speed. Let me see in the story. Where does it say? Somewhere.
88 miles an hour?
Not quite, Eric. In fact, the Bristol team completed the 500-meter course, half a kilometer, in a modest 29 minutes and 46 seconds. It took them a half hour to go half a kilometer.
Right, so slower than walking speed.
Half a kilometer. That's 1 kilometer an hour.
I take Lola.
1 kilometer an hour.
I take Lola for a walk in the neighborhood, and it's exactly 1 mile, and we can do the 1 mile in less than 15 minutes.
You could drag yourself on your stomach with your hands, I think, faster than these cars move. Cars, I'll make air quotes.
You know, I am all for these student projects that all of these different universities and even some high schools are coming up with, like, kind of not so practical. Like,
it's awesome. It's clever, though.
It's awesome, but I mean, I guess you could go out into the desert and do some like land speed stuff, and you know, like those cars, the windsail cars, you know.
No.
But they don't go that fast.
They go very slow. In fact,
what do they accomplish exactly?
They impressed me.
They'd be better off using those wind turbines or whatever they have on top of there to charge batteries to then drive the cars electrically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, primarily they said that it's mainly to, like, calibrate these kind of windmill fans. It wasn't really about driving these cars. Sorry. Buzzkill.
Mr. Practical. Ruining the day.
He's like a wet blanket on the fun, you know? Next thing you got, hypothermia.
Well,
thanks,
next
Colin.
Maybe we'll see these next years at Maker Faire.
Exactly.
There you go. Who knew? Who knew? So, Michelle.
Jace?
Do you have the next story?
I do.
In the rundown here. What is going on? This comes courtesy Los Angeles Times. Something about
bicycles.
Well,
this is actually local to me.
The La Times.
So, Critical Mass is an organization that's encouraging people to go out on these, you know, night rides where they get like a bunch of cyclists together. The organization's based in Brooklyn, and they organized one here in Long Beach, which Long Beach is a really progressive cycling community. Like, instead of putting in public art, recently our community has been putting in bicycle racks that look like muffins and people on bicycles.
Could that be why your state is in debt?
No, this is all local. This is all local. Long Beach isn't so bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is not state money. So there's a huge bicycling community here. And is a huge fixie bike community, which if you guys don't know what that means, a fixie bike, of course, is the bike where they remove the brakes and the gears, and it's a fixed gear, no brakes.
It's that hipster's parrot, you know, hipster mobile.
Right. Banofsky, like, kind of got snotty with me on a Facebook.
Wait,
and that's
surprise,
why he
wait, is. Wait, I'm sorry. Banofsky got snotty.
Yeah, and imagine that. And that's why he deleted me from his Facebook friends, because he, for some reason, thinks that the Toronto fixie scene is, like, somehow superior, and I don't understand the fixie culture. But fixie culture really did start in California.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah. Anyway, so they organized this bike ride, and the article that, you know, we're talking about is, the numbers are a little bit off. It's an LA Times article. My local community has a podcast, and I tuned in last night to hear the report on exactly what happened from the critical mass organizers.
So
and
what do they do exactly? Nighttime bike rides?
Yeah, they go around and they just do a ride to sort of encourage people to start using cycling for, you know, getting around for work, but also for leisurely activities. You know, it is really a 20, you know, people in their 20s sort of event, but it does inspire a lot of people to start, like, looking at their bikes and thinking about using them in different ways. And they had, I guess, not gotten a city permit for the event this time. The previous times they've gotten city permits, they did not get one this time because they gave some explanation.
Who
of
needs
like,
them?
Like, well, that they've never, like, they've never been bothered before kind of thing. They had about 100 bicyclists. 80 of them got stopped at an intersection by 20 police cars, 8 motorcycle cops, and a helicopter.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Exactly. And they...
Damn street racers!
The city confiscated 22 of the bicycles. And according to this article, 11 of them were fixies. So they didn't have gears or brakes on them. And they
well, how do you have a bicycle without gears?
That's the cool thing to do, Craig.
It's
cool.
Like, it's kind of like skiing thing. Or snowboarding. Like, you kind of have to go sideways to stop yourself.
So it's a single speed. There's no okay. You don't change, like, if one first gear, second.
Okay.
It's like that first Schwinn that you had as a kid, where it's
huffy.
Like there's the big just, front sprocket and the small back sprocket.
So
it
actually has gears, no adjustable.
A gear.
Two
a
gears.
A gear, yeah. I find those really annoying, though, because you can't coast, you know? You have to kick your legs out. It's
you
really,
can coast, though, right?
No, you can't coast on those.
I always remember you could coast.
If you put your legs down hard on it, that's how you can brake, is that you're holding
yeah,
the...
Yeah, you reverse.
You can break your legs, yeah, basically.
Yeah, you can. And you know, some of the... Here's the... You know, okay, so about 80 of the riders were cited. 20-something bikes were confiscated. And they were confiscated for not being registered with the city. And these guys are all up in arms. And I kind of understand why they're up in arms. But the issue really is that when these bikes first came around, they were being ridden by messengers, like in San Francisco and downtown L.A., and they were, like, really accomplished cyclists who knew how to, you know, stop them. Now it's become a trend. I think the city's worried about safety of people.
Well, it's just funny that critical mass worked like that with you, because in Chicago, the way it works is now it's thousands of people, and they do not get permits to do it. And the cops actually protect them because there's so many people, it would be impossible to arrest them now. It's usually like around at least 1,000, sometimes 5,000. And they start downtown, and they start circling out. So, you know, just completely affects traffic. They do it during rush hour. And I live where they do it, too. So it's like, oh, you know, critical mass is coming by. You know, don't go outside. Because they have two of them have like a one-story bike, you know, where they put two bike frames on top of each other. Have you guys seen
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And so it's like all the bikes are unregistered. The cops are just like, whatever, you know, we're going to protect them because it makes more sense logically at that point.
By the way, Colin, I put the link for the late ride, what I was telling you about, in the chat room if you want to see what
oh, yeah,
is.
Let me check it out.
So why do you have to register your bicycles? That seems a little
extreme. Because they need the tax money. If it
you know,
moves, you tax it.
No, it's not. No,
moves,
Eric,
nothing.
Actually, that's not it at all.
It's a joke. It was a joke.
What it is, I have a vintage Motobécane French bicycle from the 70s that I ride. And when I bought it, it has It was a registered bike in Newport Beach. And what it is, it's an anti-theft prevention thing. So the fire department that's three doors down from me, I can go there on Saturdays and I can get, you know, I can pay $4 to the city. And they basically, you know, when I was a kid, what they would do is take a Dremel tool and they would like inscribe a number on it. Now what they do is they put a plaque on it that has like, you know, that it's registered in the city and it has this ID number. And it's really to prevent bicycle theft, which we've had a huge problem with here. Well, and now the city's actually using this not registering thing as a reason to go after people for not registering their bikes, which is kind of weird.
Nonsense.
Is it? I'm just curious. Is it required by law that you have to register your bicycle?
Where it never was. It was a voluntary thing.
But now it is the law that you have to register a bicycle?
That's what the city's claiming now, which is what kind of makes it a bit strange.
I have a question. How is this DOA and how does it deal with cars?
Oh, sorry.
This is Bikecast.
How does this deal with cars? I think it deals with cars because there are a lot of people that are using bicycles on a daily basis to not use their cars, right? In urban communities, they use their cars for like long distance trips. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, if
you have critical mass where you are, you'll see how it's car related.
Because you can't drive anywhere.
It stops traffic. It absolutely stops traffic.
And you know they have the right. So if you run them over or anything, you're going to jail.
It might be worth it though.
maybe clip them. You know.
I mean, it does get down to regulations, too. Our cars are regulated very heavily. And, you know, if this is going to start being a popular means of transportation for people in the current economy, then, yeah, of course the government. Eric's right. The government is going to come in and start trying to regulate it.
Salsa dancing?
Loving the tunes.
Colin?
No, it's not me.
You're the de facto person I'm blaming this episode, okay?
Yeah, no,
Henry came in and started playing Pandora.
No, that was my phone.
The Nokia?
No, my BlackBerry. I got rid of the N97.
You realized it sucked?
Oh, no, I realized that when we were in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
You had an N97, huh?
Ugh. Yeah, I hated it.
Old school. It's very worldly, though, but, you know.
It's worried about things. It's worldly.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you go. So, but now I think I would like to take a moment to talk about Audible.
Oh,
good.
Yes. Visit the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow today. Sign up for a free. Did I mention it's free?
F-R-E-E. That free. Spells free.
To sign up free, get a free audiobook from Audible. They have more than 85,000 titles to choose from. All different genres, all different authors, all kinds of great books on Audible. Just go to their website. I'll give it to you again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go there right now. Check it out because I guarantee you will find a book on there that you like.
And at this juncture, I'd like to say, if you think you're going to get the website wrong, just go to roundaboutshow.com and click our ad. That way we definitely get the credit because we only get paid if you give us the credit.
Exactly. So if you went to the incorrect website,
Let's say you went to audiblepodcast.com/roundabout. Someone named Roundabout just got our credit. So
Roundabout Show.
To be safe, go to our website, click the Audible link on the right-hand side.
Again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. There will be a book there that you enjoy. I know audiobooks sound boring. I was not a believer until I got my free sample book, and I am a subscriber to this day. So, trust me, they come alive in your head. They're narrated by professional voice actors. Great service. If you've got a long commute, you're going flying cross country or something, load up on Audible. You will not be disappointed. Now, we like to highlight a selection that is on the store each week to just give you a little sample of what they've got. And Eric, I believe you picked the pick of the week for us.
Yes.
Here. What'd you find?
It is the new Keith Richards autobiography called Life, which is pretty comprehensive about all the things that have happened with Keith Richards and the Rolling Stones going back to the early days. And there is some dirt in there, if you like, about how he and Mick Jagger don't necessarily always see eye to eye or get along or even sometimes talk. And I think he refers to Mick Jagger quite often as Her Highness because he's quite the high-maintenance person. I've downloaded it. I just started listening to it, and it's really good. And it's also narrated by Johnny Depp. So the quality of the recording is quite good and quite well done. So as Johnny Depp is a friend of Keith Richards, so it's so far so good. I can't wait to listen to the rest of it, and it's been fun to listen to so far.
Well, famously the Pirates movie,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, what was Johnny Depp's character? But he was based on.
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow. Yeah, exactly. There
ding,
we go.
Ding, ding, ding.
Based on Keith Richards. I mean, the mannerisms.
Yes.
So why don't you give us a little sample, Ben? Because Audible does provide that.
Well, it's always a nice feature, I will say.
Try it before you buy it, or free it, as it were.
And here we were, driving back roads in a brand new yellow Chevrolet Impala. In the whole of the United States, there was perhaps no sillier place to stop with a car loaded with drugs. A conservative, redneck southern community not happy to welcome different-looking strangers.
Well, don't want to alienate
anyone. Is this
Top Gear?
So, yeah, again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Just type that into your web browser. Go there right now. Get a free, F-R-E-E, free audiobook. Just about anything on the store. Great service. And we thank Audible for their continued support of Roundabout.
We do.
Hey, Craig.
Yes, Michelle.
Luke said in the chat room he downloaded Snow Crash.
Yeah.
And he started listening to it, but he was turned off by the amount of swearing. But he did add that he didn't think the swearing added anything to the story, but the swearing on Roab adds to the show.
Okay.
We haven't sworn at all.
Well, we haven't had Zach on.
Well, now's the chance.
Let's start swearing.
God damn it. So,
you son of a.
hey, Michelle, I wanted to point out your the article from the LA Times. Did you notice like everything around it is very, I don't know, like no additional HIV cases detected in porn performers? I don't know. It just all seems out of control.
Yeah.
71,000 crimes reported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's our time.
So, yeah.
Hella.
Audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go there. Get some free stuff. Free audiobook.
Get to the getting.
Hey, Ben, what's that? When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story about airplanes that are dead on arrival, predictably. I guess. Potentially.
Gulp.
Maybe. Or not at all. Anyway,
this is my link. I found this
yes,
for
you. Yes,
you
did. Michelle, maybe you can fill us in on MIT unveiling revolutionary
I
new
just
green
thought you
airplanes.
Would like it, so I bookmarked it and didn't read it.
Way to pass the buck. What the buck, Michelle? So,
love it.
I'll read it now.
Okay. MIT is developing a duet of what they're calling green airplanes that are allegedly 70% and 75% – well, 70% more fuel efficient, emitting 75% fewer nitric oxide emissions than current aircraft that are out there today.
Hmm.
They've got a couple
like
interesting
nitric
designs.
Oxide emissions.
You like wheezing all the time and having watery
they're
eyes?
They're cool looking.
They do. Well, speaking of noxious emissions, Colin, you were in Mexico City not long ago.
Yes.
Are you talking about his output or his input?
Well, either or. I'm sure it was an eye-watering good time, right?
Oh, it was awesome. You should come with us next time.
Mm-hmm. Craig, you're in.
That should be your guys' next road trip. Mexico City.
May not come back.
Drug cartel might get a hold of us and try to ransom us for gold.
It makes for a fun, you know, a fun show.
Setting up that army of children in the hills. So anyway, we've got two aircraft here, the D-Series and the H-Series, and they're trying to make these super efficient planes. One of them looks fairly conventional, although it looks kind of like a box, which allegedly would have more room inside than...
What wouldn't?
I don't know. maybe if... We got two designs here. D-Series, H-Series. One looks boxy. The other is a blended wing design. The name of the game, all you need to know about this, is more fuel efficient. And pretty cool looking, so hit the link in the show notes. These stories come courtesy of asb.tv/blog, which is presumably an aircraft airshow buzz blog.
Catchy name.
I know, it just rolls off the tongue.
I have two questions about these. First off, didn't the Boeing Dreamliner start out looking like one of these, and then they said that was too expensive to do, basically?
I believe so, yeah. A blended
and then,
wing.
Number two, like so MIT isn't going to build planes, so do they just give away this – you know, this technology to Boeing and Lockheed Martin and Airbus?
Well, I'm sure they funded the research to begin with, so.
Probably.
Along with NASA, so.
Oh, right. Yeah. Forgot about them.
Interesting DOA aircraft story here. Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a real, those are real
calm
dogs.
Calm down, May.
May, May.
This reminds me, did you guys see anything about those electric planes that they started building?
Yeah.
For electric propeller planes?
Yes.
Scary.
Yeah. Very
terrifying. So we have another, this is a double-headed blind spot here. We've got another story, aviation related. If you guys are familiar with the Airbus A380,
this,
currently the world's largest
jetliner. Is this
the
Landing Strip podcast?
No. It could be, though. A380, largest airliner in the world right now, double-decker. Monster plane, although it does look like it has some sort of developmental stability, the way it. No. Anyway, you look at the pictures, go Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Google it, go to roundaboutshow.com.
Or you could go to roundaboutshow.com, hit the link in the show notes. You could do that. Anyway, a Qantas Australian airline flight. Right, Eric?
Sure, Craig, sure.
Qantas?
Wait, now do I need to bleep that?
I say kind of... it's Qantas, isn't it? There's no U.
Oh, dear.
Qantas.
It's Qantas.
It's Qantas.
Qantas.
Quantcast.
I've flown on Qantas, you know. They're nice people.
And do they say Qantas or Qantas?
They say Qantas.
Qantas.
G'day, mate. It's Qantas.
Shouldn't
it's
well, then why isn't there a U in there?
I don't know.
Because they're Aussies. They don't speak English. They speak Aussie.
Well, where's the U?
They speak Aussie. They don't speak English.
They should put the U in Qantas, then.
Just like Qatar.
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 See? Qantas.
Qatar.
Qatar.
Anyway.
Is this Phonics cast? Booked on Phonics works for me. Anyway, Qantas A380 takes off from, what was it, Singapore? Somewhere. Yes. No. Maybe so. Takes off. The engine explodes
story,
6 minutes after takeoff. I did read the story, Eric.
Well, Eric, where did it take off?
It took off from Singapore's Chiang Mai Airport. There you go. 440 passengers on there. I told you it was a big plane.
That's only about half full.
It seats 800, 900
yes.
people?
No. 800 people. Yes.
Bull puppy.
Yeah. Yeah, it can seat 800 people.
In Skyrider configuration, maybe. The automotive tie-in here is that the aircraft's Rolls-Royce Trent, what is it? The
900.
Trent 900 series jet engine exploded on takeoff.
Ooh,
awesome.
Nice.
So... There you go, Rolls Royce. Aren't Rolls never supposed to break?
People almost were dead on arrival.
Yeah. Another very
But at least
time.
They were early.
This tells you how large the plane is. It has 26 crew members. Like, when's it?
Oh, my God.
Yes, I know. Well, that's shocking. Service, too. More people for better service, right? It's not like Delta trying to cut that down to is the minimum required.
Give you two flight attendants for 300
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Now, do you guys know, like, I know that the Airbus, you can get the Rolls-Royce or the General Electric engines.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll just switch over to General Electric for now on and all these?
Well, that's one of the things that's brought up in the article is that all the deliveries coming to the U.S. may be required to switch to General Electric Pratt Whitney Motors if Rolls-Royce doesn't do something about it, and that this could be the aviation equivalent of the BP thing.
Mm-hmm. So they
poor England.
Qantas has basically banned all their flights with the A380s. How many do they have in their fleet? It says
six.
I thought
two.
It was more than that. they've canceled flights with the aircraft, obviously, for the safety concerns here. You don't want jet engines exploding in flight and dropping, like, car-sized chunks of metal.
Well, it's because Qantas is the only airline never to have a death.
Exactly.
Really? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the they're like the Volvo of the sky.
Haven't you seen Rain Man?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Wow.
Leave it at that. Leave it at that.
Did you have to ask, Colin?
I want to fly Qantas. You don't remember that? Come on.
Quant? Nope. Don't remember it because I haven't seen it. And if I did see it, I probably wouldn't remember it.
Fine.
So it's Catch 22.
Colin?
Yep.
Is it Star Wars?
No.
No, he hasn't seen it.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
I heard you, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, is there somebody at the door?
Knock, knock.
Crickets.
I don't know. I don't follow.
Looking at the rundown.
Ding dong.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I believe there might be someone at the... Hello?
Today's secret word, shimsel.
I'm going to say spelling doesn't count on this one.
The secret word this week, folks, get your pen and paper out.
Ben, why did you let him pick the word?
Oh.
Because Ben won't pick words.
I picked it last week.
I picked it.
It's more like a term, Ben. I don't know about this.
Turn that sound effect, guys. Stop playing it. No.
What is the word, Craig?
This week's secret word is chimsel.
Chimsel.
Is that really a word or is it an acronym?
It is an acronym.
So it's not really a word.
Well,
I would say an acronym is a word.
Oh, so it's more like the secret acronym, Craig.
That's a totally different contest. That's the one where you get the, like,
the Porsche design hat.
Center high mounted stop lamp.
CHMSL.
Enter that in the box now.
Or feel free to spell it phonetically. Chimsel.
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 Yes.
Chimsel.
Eric. Schnitzel?
No, Eric. Chimsel. Hey!
Oh, sorry.
Ben, next segment.
There's a
sound effect. So in Western speak, it's chimsel. Chimsel.
Yes.
What does chimsel. This mean? What are you guys saying?
Center high-mounted stoplight.
Oh.
Duh, Colin. I mean...
God.
Why did we invite him, Ben?
God, I don't know.
Oh.
Auto birds don't require a third stoplight.
Center high-mounted stoplights. See? Okay.
In the garage.
What?
If in doubt, scream something loud. So we got in the garage. Eric, you are driving something right now.
Well, not at this very second, but yes.
What car are you in?
I am in a Cadillac CTS. The Sport Premium or whatever with the 300 horsepower V6.
306, isn't it?
305, I think, but yes.
Well,
four,
how do you like
five,
it?
Six. Quite good. I am surprised that there are a few things in there that aren't standard equipment, such as no auto start in it, which seems odd for a $42,000 car.
Yeah.
A few other things in there, but for the most part, I love that car. It drives wonderfully. Very similar driving experience to when I had the wagon about a year ago.
Nothing's changed, really.
No. It also doesn't have the big center pop-up TV screen in it because there's no navigation in it. But, yeah, I know. Kind of sad. Sad trombone on that one. But other than that, drives great. I love the black on it. Is really quite... Most black cars are like, yeah, okay, it's a black car, but the paint on this one is actually quite striking.
Stunning.
And it has the chamois-colored interior, so it's a very nice offset. It's not a black car with a black interior. Thank the great maker for that one. So the interior is quite nice, good materials. I like the car. I mean, it's...
With the great maker, like as in God or GM?
Yes.
The great maker.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, so not a whole lot to report on then, because there's not a lot going on in the standard CTS, really. But nice
car overall.
That's
a good car. No, I mean, seriously. I mean, if you look at it.
It's a great car, absolutely.
I don't, it still slots in between a 3 and a 5 series and a C and an E class. So it's like, it's sort of hard to say how it shapes up against that or an A6 or an A4 kind of thing. But for $40,000, I've seen other cars that are close to that aren't anywhere near as good as it. So. It's quite. I think it's a pretty decent value for the money.
Yeah,
and well, it gets I got 28 and a half miles to the gallon on the highway going 80, so.
So it's a sparkly black, right?
Yes. I can't remember what the official color is, like Ravenswood black or something like that.
Sounds
expensive.
They should
just call it the sparkly black.
Well, you can get the CTS in medium dark cashmere or sparkly black.
When you say sounds expensive like that, it sounds like this is an infomercial. Gee, Eric, that must be expensive.
I know, Ben. It really sounds expensive, but it's not. And if you call now...
How much would you pay for that sparkly black paint?
Operators are standing by.
Hey, Eric, do you think... compared to the Mercedes C-Class and the A4, I was cross-comparing them the other day, that those two are actually cheaper. Have you driven those two models? Do you say it's better than that?
I haven't driven the A4, the current A4, and I've only sat in the current C-Class. But the CTS is a larger vehicle.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, and it kind of splits the difference between the two, so that's why it's hard to... It's more expensive than those, but it's less expensive than the 5 Series of the E-Class, so it's...
Right,
you know,
right.
That's why I say it's sort of hard to throw in there, you know? But it's very, very solid car.
Well, I was in something considerably less solid. I don't know if any of you guys have driven the Scion XB.
I've driven the original.
The original.
One. The new. Not, nobody. None of you been the new one?
No.
You're not missing anything. I did not.
That
like
is a new 2.4, right?
Yes. It's actually good little four-cylinder engine, 2.4 liters. Revs up nicely. It's smooth. It's quiet. But a four-speed automatic transmission. Four speeds. Unacceptable today. If GM or Ford were making a vehicle like that, they would be crucified with a four-speed automatic transmission. You know, and Toyota gets a free pass. But that's another story.
What's the mileage light in that thing?
I didn't get the Monroney with it.
Okay.
So I looked online I think it was about 19,000 for the vehicle I had.
No, the mileage.
Well, I know, but no. I didn't have the Monroney, and I don't remember seeing
it. No,
it
was 2229.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were in it. That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is significantly less than the original.
It's bigger. Husky.
It feels like I equated it to like a delivery truck. I mean, the way you sit in it, because you're like far away from the windshield. You got these big boxy windows, acres of dashboard.
Awful looking dashboard, too.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty cheap materials.
Hard plastic. Like this fabric. Different like tiers to it, too, that were very odd looking.
Yeah.
It's like it's patronizing. Toyota created this brand for young people. Here, young people will love this car. And then it looks like ass inside and out.
You know what's funny in Chicago, like because they stopped making the Crown Vic for commercial reasons. Right. The Scion XB is
a
like
taxi.
Almost all. Yeah, it's all our taxis. And every time I get in one, I'm like, yeah, this is nice. This is big.
When Catherine and I were there in May or June, whenever we were there, that I purposely flagged down one of those as a taxi just because I wanted to see what it was like, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good taxi.
It felt very chintzy to me, though. I mean, it was decently quiet when you drove it, but like closing the door stays were very stiff, so you'd have to like slam the door to get it to close.
Did it bend the door? Because of thin metal.
Well, and when you close it, you get this dong, and you'd walk up to it and you'd push on the panels, and they would just whoop 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 as you're like pushing on the metal, like playing the saw or something. I did not like this car. I don't like the looks. It wasn't particularly comfortable for me. It didn't drive particularly well.
And what's your guys? All right. So here's a pet peeve of mine, and this goes back to infotainment.
Mm-hmm.
What is your guys' stance on? You know, Scion puts in the standard stereo so you can swap out your own if you want. So it's this boxy instead of an integrated. Do you guys – good idea, bad idea? I don't like it.
Good idea.
I like it. I like it.
Well, the stock stereo was atrocious.
Well, yeah. And by the way, another gripe. What's wrong with a tune knob? Why does nothing have a tune knob anymore? This is annoying in my G8 too. But with this, in order to tune radio stations – you had to use the volume knob as joystick.
Yeah. I couldn't figure that out for about a half hour.
I know.
Hour.
It took me forever. I'm like, there's got to be some ridiculous tune button. No, there's not a tune button. I've got to move it sideways and not turn the volume up.
Because of the demographic they originally thought was going to buy the car, not the 50-year-old empty nesters, those people like to put in the big fancy.
Crowd.
Yeah, they like to put in their big fancy stereos, and if you make it that, it's easy for them to put in. What
and
they
I
want
get it. I know that's exactly why they're doing it. I just, I don't know. Is it worth it? Maybe it is.
S2K James in the chat is asking about, you know, he brings up that maybe older buyers of Scion would be interested in custom stereos
as
maybe.
Well.
I wouldn't think so.
Well, I mean.
But there's the problem right there. Older Scion buyers. I mean, what's the brand's average age? Isn't it like 55 or something? Ridiculous.
There's the irony of the Scion, right? Is
exactly.
that they think that they're selling to the kids, and they're not. I mean, my – I get my frozen, like, meat brought, like, once a month to me by, like, one of those Schwann's guys, right? Yeah, but it's kind of a cool deal. Like, I don't like going to the store very much, you know. I like going and buying fresh vegetables. I don't like buying meat.
Hippie.
So I always have, like, a freezer full of, like, organic meat. So it's cool. But they come, and they've outfitted these XBs with these freezers in the back. And they're all these old guys driving. They're like, oh, yeah, we love them. And every time I see people on the street in an XB, they're like grannies.
It's a Buick.
It's not the kids.
Well, you know, Buick's trying to go downscale now with their demographics, so the Scion is now filling in the old Buick demographic.
Probably. But Michelle, do you buy free range chicken, Amish chicken?
I try to buy hormone free and organic as much as possible.
Hmm.
And no, I'm not a vegetarian, see?
You had lots of meat on the Rohab trip. I remember that.
Yeah, I was with...
And buffalo. Anyway.
Wait, did I have buffalo or did I have the elky thing?
No, you had the prime rib of buffalo, I believe. Big
That's
bloody
right.
slab
you
of fatty
had
meat.
You had the elky thing.
No, I had
actually,
sirloin.
Bison is not fatty. That's
well, I was on the edge, like this big grizzly. But she ate that anyway, too. There's nothing left.
I ate everything.
She devoured it like a hungry hyena.
Hey Craig, yes. I mean, in terms of if you put your shoes into an old person, was that car like, did you think the visibility was good and all that for an old person? Like, why are they getting the car, you think?
The visibility wasn't bad except for through the windshield. It was very upright, and you were far from it, so you couldn't look up at stoplights.
Like a bus or something.
Exactly. But
except through the windshield,
exactly.
The visibility was awesome.
Can't see where you're going, but other than that, the visibility's great.
You turn to check your blind spot, you could see, which was nice, unlike the CRZ, the Honda.
True.
You can't see a damn
True.
Thing out of. But
you wouldn't think so. I mean, it looks like it has a massive blind spot.
You'd think, definitely.
In the back. But
you know, whatever.
Didn't bother me.
Not that impressed by the car.
Really? I couldn't tell.
So don't get why old people like it. That's the one thing. But,
they're getting in touch with their youth, or they think their grandkids will think they're cool.
I think that's it. I think it's the latter, Craig. I actually think that's it.
Trying to appeal to their grandkids?
Yeah.
We're the grandparents that are hip, and we're with it, golly.
Look, I got an iPod.
Wasn't it the grandparents that Ghost Rid the Whip or whatever? Did you guys see that music video? I mean, sorry, the YouTube video.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, moving along, what is our next segment here?
Warning.
You can just play the voicemail
thing. Do you think I put all this effort into making the... Yeah, okay.
Somebody left us a voicemail on our Google Voice account here. Who is it? What do they want?
Hey, guys. It's Jonathan Brown, Old New Jersey. Great show. Just a quick question. What do you guys think of the Buick Regal GS information that GM released this week with the Turbo 4 and the 6-speed and the 6-speed automatic, the 6-speed manual? Do you think it needs or should have a premium fuel option where it makes 300 horsepower right from the factory or at least dealer installed? Thanks again. Have a good night.
Well, that's our good friend Jonathan Brown from Old Fenton, New Jersey. Where is he from?
Old
exactly?
New Jersey.
Old Bridgetown, New Jersey.
Old Bridgetown.
Well, there we go. There was the bleep.
Old Tappan.
Is that how? What?
Where are you from, Jonathan?
Old Tappan.
If you can hear.
Old Tappan. He's got. He lives in an old refrigerator.
Jonathan
All right.
Brown
there
was probably
a question
calling
in
from
there,
a bathroom
right?
stall, so he had to whisper. He wanted to be modest.
just so long as he wasn't tapping his feet in a funny way.
Old Tappan. Old Tappan. Old Tappan, New Jersey.
That's the name of the town. I don't even believe that place exists. Let me Bing that and decide. Let's see. Or Baidu it, maybe.
Let's Baidu it and decide.
Yeah, it's apparently a place.
All right. Now, what was this question?
What was it?
Oh, do we think that the GS needs a premium fuel option to have 300 horsepower rather than the 255?
I think the aftermarket will take care of that pretty easily. Whoa.
Right. All you got to do is plug in the aftermarket thing into your OBD2 port.
Reflash it.
And bada bing, bada boom.
Cold air intake would probably get
you. I think he's talking about, like, the commenting on that has been pretty angry because the OPC, you know, the Opel Insignia OPC is like, does anyone remember the horsepower on that? But it's...
Yeah, but that's a turbo V6, 300 horsepower all-wheel drive.
Right, yeah. So people want that to be here with the all-wheel drive and everything instead of this $255.
$42,000.
You know what, guys? Car enthusiasts are never happy, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and they're not going to buy the car. That's the thing. To buy that $40,000 car, they would have to make, you know, $85,000 and be single. They're not making that, and they're like...
Yeah, they're making $22,000 delivering pizzas living in mom's basement, right?
Exactly. And also, I mean, it goes against the marketing, right? So they don't want to... If they built a car like that, it would infringe on Cadillac, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So, Regal GS, we'll see. What is it, 255 horsepower?
Yes.
Yeah. But 192 pounds feet of torque or something like that. Something crazy.
It's like a diesel. It's like a Duramax under there.
Something like that, yeah.
No, because it was a Duramax to have double the torque that it would horsepower.
But it's 2-liter 4-cylinder, Eric.
I just think, like, the thing with the Regal is it seemed like a really great idea. And then the Hyundai Sonata came out, and it's the same idea, except executed better and cheaper.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
The Regal's a decent car. I wasn't blown away by the standard version when I drove it, but maybe the GS will change that.
I can't fit in the back, but, you know, besides that.
Minor detail. You're not going to be in the backseat anyway. You're a driver.
I'm 7 foot tall, 800 pounds, if you guys didn't know that. But
so you've gained a little weight since we had you on the show last.
That's why that Star Trek costume looked funny.
No, it was the boobs. Anyway.
What were you, dressed as Uhura?
I was Captain Janeway from the Starship Voyager.
If you're going to talk about Star Wars.
This is not Star Wars, Craig. This is Star Trek. Susan Denville is going to kill you.
What? What does she have to do with anything?
Oh, I thought she was a big Star Trek fan. Sorry.
She's certainly not a roundabout fan. We know that much.
I don't think Suzanne can be bothered for much these days.
Anyway... Next, our next segment here, we got our resident brain fetishist.
I think the 22-inch wheels show that you have a lack of self-confidence. Why don't you pull into my garage and tell me how that makes you feel?
Michelle, you've got something to tell us about drunk driving.
Well, I do. And this report comes to us from Jackson, Tennessee. But I have to say, this has like a personal... note to it as well, because I have a nephew who's 20, he's almost 24 years old, who has been in two single car accidents where he has plummeted down ravines up in the hills of Glendale, California, because he works in the entertainment industry and he does sound and he has been driving home late at night.
That kind of entertainment.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no. He does sound and he's, you know, they finish wrapping up the production at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you've worked 24 hours. He's fallen asleep behind the wheel twice. And this kid, I kind of half raised, and he'll kill me if I ever say this, but he has always had a sleep issue. Like, he was a huge bedwetter, like, even until he went into boarding school, like, he just has sleep boarding issues school. And some people do. Right. And he falls asleep behind the wheel and has totaled two cars. So in Tennessee, they came out with this article about how in Tennessee alone, they've had 118 crashes between 2004 and 2008 of people who were falling asleep behind the wheel. Nationwide, it's about 1,550 deaths. I'm not sure where this number comes from. $12.5 billion in losses each year. I mean, when somebody crashes when they're asleep, like, are they talking about material cost of, like, buildings they crash into, or car cost, or loss of life? Like, it's kind of a weird number.
I'm assuming there's collateral damage. That
so, Michelle. I'm sorry, Eric.
No, that's fine.
I'm steamrolling everybody.
Bombshell.
As usual.
Michelle, in your personal experience, is it more dangerous to drive drunk or be drowsy behind the wheel?
In my personal experience, I think they're equally awful. I mean, I think that people are probably a little more conscious of, you know, drunk driving as an issue, but I don't think people realize that driving when you're sleepy is incredibly dangerous.
How so? I fail to see the connection.
Really? Here. If there's 71,000 injuries a year in the country because of people being sleepy behind the wheel, I mean, there's, you know, a delayed reaction time, of course, if you're sleepy, and of course you are. Did you need to point that out? Wasn't that a little redundant?
I'm sad. So, why do people drive when they're sleepy, Michelle? Why does Ben drive when he's exhausted?
Because people don't let me sleep on the road trip and make fun of me, and then I don't get enough sleep when it's my turn to drive in the middle of the night.
Because you can't get enough sleep at work, so you're exhausted on the drive home. Is that it? God, Ben's driving, batting down the hatches.
I slip out of self-protection when Ben was driving.
Because your body goes limp, and when you go flying through the windshield, you're less likely to break something, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Right.
So what's the psychology behind people driving when they know it's dangerous? Because they got to know it's dangerous. You fall asleep at the wheel, you're going to smash into somebody. That bus full of orphans going to the cider mill to pick apples or whatever. You know, they're going to plow into that. Next thing you know, it's just carnage.
Well, Mythbusters has done an episode this week, which I haven't gotten a chance to see.
I love that kitten.
I know, right? He talks constantly. Motherproof.com did a little teaser video, which, you know, you guys can put in the show notes. Also, I put it in the script, about the Mythbusters episode. And as Kristen points out in her Motherproof.com article, she lives 40 miles from the airport. So she's an automotive journalist. She comes in from a trip, oftentimes late at night, and she gets in her driveway and she doesn't remember getting there. I mean, it happens, right? We all do it. I think it happens more often than we probably all realize. Like, if you started thinking about the times where you come in from a trip or you have been working late and you're just tired and you don't realize. It's very dangerous.
Well, S2K James in the chat makes a very good point. He says, there is a cure for drowsy driving. Drive an awesome car. Together we can make a difference. Buy a sports car today. You'll save someone you love. Sounds like an infomercial.
Yeah.
Good idea.
I mean, is this test necessary, you think, though? I mean, obviously, no question. If you're unconscious and driving, that's going to be worse than conscious, you know, and drunk. You know, when you're drunk, you drive slower. That's a fact.
But you should drive faster to minimize your time on the road. Am I right?
Well, they say usually on like a Friday or Saturday night, cops are looking for people who stay, you know, they stop at a stop sign and they stay there too long. It's usually a drunk person.
You have personal experience?
Right, delayed reaction times.
I was the guy doing the pulling over. It's my part-time job.
You're an undercover cop?
Cop impersonator, yeah.
Just like Steven Seagal.
You're coming home with me.
Only in Germany.
So, Michelle, if we could boil this down, condense it, distill it, if you will, into a spiritus liquor. No, into a moral of this story, what would it be for our listeners?
I would say that don't discount being sleepy in a car as being you're going to make it home okay. I am a big fan of taking taxis when I'm going to the airport and I'm going on a trip, or I know that I'm going to be someplace super late and I probably am going to be tired. I think it's a better idea. It's just like drinking or texting or being distracted. Mm-hmm. You're just unconscious.
The more you know. Thank you for that,
there
Michelle. That is psychology.
And as a matter of fact, that is it for Roundabout this week, because that was our final segment. You guys,
that was a short show.
Only an hour and a half. Hey.
Hey, we're going out on a high note.
So, yeah, great show, guys. We're glad the Birdman could make it back. ColinBirdCars.com, AutoBird blog.
Yeah, you can check out my work at KickingTires.net, and yeah, obviously go to AutoBird, AutoBirdBlog.com.
Great, good stuff. What do you got in the Bird blog? What, you guys got people writing stuff for you. What's going on there?
Yeah, we got Tyler wrote some stuff about Kia. He test drove a bunch of Kias recently, and obviously Mirko test drove the Fiat 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the diesel.
Well, very good. Check it out on the AutoBird blog. Awesome.
Yeah.
Michelle Naranjo.
Oh, you're turning me on.
I'm a stutterer. Sorry. MissMotorMouth.com and Autotropolis. And. Where can the people
find
it?
An open line.
What's this open line? Is it encroaching on Roundabout? It better not be.
This better not be taking away from Roundabout time.
I'm so stepping on your toes, boys.
She's wearing high heels and she's stamping her feet.
And you like it.
No, I do not. Crouching in the rhubarb. Anyway, what are you doing?
Open line.
What's going on?
What's coming up this Monday, Michelle?
This Monday we have Ann Lutz Fernandez, who's the author of Carjacked, which is a very anti sort of automotive book.
Not so sweet.
Will you strangle that harpy?
She's very, very clear on, you know, like different government subsidies and how it's paid for the automotive industry and our American culture and health-wise the issues it causes. And she's a very interesting woman, so I can't wait to have her on. It gives a different perspective to our normal enthusiast crowd.
Jonathan Brown, get your questions ready.
He's going to have a question shotgun ready. He's just going to spray it at her.
I know. He's like, you don't like my Corvette.
So, Michelle Naranjo, thank you again.
He says he's just not showing up. She sounds scary.
That's funny right there. Eric Tritko.
See.
WebRidesTV.com. What's going on?
Continuing on, doing what I do over there. A couple reviews coming very soon. The Ford F-250 diesel we spoke about on the last episode, I believe, of Roundabout Show, plus the CTS review coming up there as well.
Oh, God. Jonathan Brown just put something very funny in the chat. I will leave that up to you guys to read this out.
Sorry. Of course, that was such an inside.
Ben Slanders. Thank you for getting the show off.
Don't mind if I do.
Started, never mind on time, but... Leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice number. Give us a call, 1-559-ROAB-411. Again, that is 1-559-762-2411. Drop us a line. We would love to hear from you.
It's true.
We're on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We are also, predictably, on Facebook, facebook.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss, an action-packed episode...
Facebook me!
Hey, Jeff is here.
If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace. So those are two options for you to consider. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll catch you later. Or rather, you'll catch us later, since we're not really, you know, it's pre-recorded. Whatever. Just listen.
How you feeling, girl?
Glad, because we're done.
I can do... Picard. Okay. Picard. Indeed.
T. Earl Grey, hot. Ding, ding, mother, beep, ding, all right?
I also have little Minnie Mouse barrette ears that I can put in my hair.
Again. Is Michelle gargling barbecue sauce?
Hi, if you've reached 323-475-3257, I can't answer the phone right now.
Well, it is about to happen, isn't it?
You've reached 850.
Blah, 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 blah. This always happens.
Is that
hanging
up after 27 rings, Ben?
It is, because it takes like 15 times to hit that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he ever pick up?
Great job, everyone.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that Halloween costume next year, Colin.
You didn't like it? See, if you saw me in person, you would have saw that. You know, Captain Janeway, she's got a nice, modest rack. It's a double B, I think she has. I don't know if you guys know what Janeway looks like anymore, since it's really throwback.
And why did you decide to go as Janeway?
I don't know. I thought because I had watched all of Voyager, that took about a year. And, you know, I was sort of into her character. She's very early 1990s woman boss. She does a good job of that.
Bitchy, but with a softer side, right?
Padded shoulder pads, yes. And a jacket.